We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the word he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterance. And of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Welcome to Prophetic Utterance with Pastor Caris E. Amirels.
True prophetic utterance. First Kings.
Hallelujah.
True prophetic utterance. Tell your neighbor there's a sword in your mouth. I can't hear. There's a sword in your mouth. Tell them. Use it to call down opposition and to make progress. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amazing, amazing portion. Amazing portion of scripture. We're wrapping up, round up our teaching on prophetic utterance. In this second service, amen. Oh, if you are shouting, shout now. Somebody wanted to shout. Hallelujah. And I'm sure it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to you. I believe you was, last week I was talking about how that certain courses are elective, while certain courses are core courses. Amen. You went to school. There were courses you took as electives. You just whether you pass or not is not important. The same thing in the church, okay, in your walk with God, certain understanding certain concepts or certain things could be elective. But understanding certain concepts are core to the fulfillment of your destiny. And I jokingly say, knowing the size of the wings of the cherub is an elective. Amen. Or knowing the shape of the hoofs of the angels is an elective. Amen. Do you understand? Do you understand? Very important. But certain things through scriptures are core courses. You can just browse through them. And just as there's something like faith. There's something like faith. I heard someone talking about faith. Boy, if you don't understand the dynamics of faith, you are sunk. You have problems. You be trapped in the average life. Amen. There's something like seed time and harvest. I know. Sure, there's something like seed time and harvest. Something like tithe. I'm not sure. Okay, people talk about it. Sure, I don't know. That's core. Amen. That's core. When the mountains of life come against you, you will know that you are not ready for them. Can you remember the story of the professor and the young fisher boy? And they were crossing over to another village on the boat, and the professor said, young man, do you know botany? Do you have knowledge of plants? He said, no, sir. What was his response again? He says, you wasted a good part of your life. How can you not understand your environment? He said, do you know about zoology? He said, no, sir. He said, you wasted another portion of your life. He asked about astronomer, some scientific things. Do you know about this? He said, no, sir. He said, you wasted a portion of your life. Amen. And here comes the waves and the storm upon that river or sea, whatever it was. And the young boy turned to the professor. He said, Prof, do you know how to swim? Prof said, he said, you just wasted your whole life. Say, Prof, you can't swim, you're gone. Amen. So, well, you are in the boat on the sea and you can't swim. When the storm comes, your knowledge of biology is important. Or you tell the fish when you enter and the shark comes, say, I understand your anatomy, I understand your physiology, just calm down. It's not going to work. Amen. It's not going to work. Now, I said that to strengthen what I was saying, that certain things are called. You have to know them and visit them again and again in your sojourn through the world. Very important. So is what we've been talking about. Prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance. Understanding how it works. Understanding God's mind concerning you. I believe we stopped at the principle of possession. Yeah, we'll pick up from there. I said in the New Testament, the principle of possession is prophecy. The principle of possession is prophecy. In the Old Testament, they were told, wherever the soles of your feet can touch, you possess. In the New Testament, wherever your mouth goes, your life goes. Amen. Jesus said, you shall have what you say. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and the children of the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. How do we take that possession? How the chief way is by prophecy. That's possession. You take health, you take your children, you take your prosperity, you take everything that Jesus paid for by prophecy. Very important. By prophecy. By prophecy. Amen. All right, 1 Kings 19, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Verse 16. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over who? Over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. Next verse. Remarkable portion. It says, and it shall come to pass that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Now Jehu and Hazael were men of war, so we can understand that they carried sword, they fought with spear, with sword. They were men of war with chariots. But Elisha was a prophet. Elijah was to anoint Elisha in his stead as a territorial prophet. So he wasn't just a prophet for Israel. He was a prophet for the surrounding territory. Hope he didn't forget that verse 15. God told him, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. He was a Jew, but his anointing covered Syria. Amen. And he transferred the same thing to Elisha. But watch this. Elisha was a prophet. He wasn't carrying sword in his hands. But look at what he says. Him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Where was the sword of Elisha? In his mouth. That was where his sword was. In his mouth. This is why I say there's a sword in your mouth. That prophetic sword was what Elisha had. When you cross over to 2 Kings, we saw him use it. When the children that came out of somewhere and were mocking him, thou bald headed, go up. The Bible says he cursed them. And by that word, she bears appeared and consumed them from the woods. He wasn't moving about with a bear, but something happened. His words created them. Hallelujah. His words created them. There's something about our words. There's something about the prophetic word. Remember, Moses told them that I would that all of God's people were prophets. In Numbers 11, you remember that? That all of God's people were prophets. And that prayer was answered in the New Testament. So there's something in the mouth. Just like Elisha the prophet had the sword in his mouth. Meaning everything that escapes the natural warriors cannot escape the words, the prophetic words in the mouths of God's people. Is somebody here? Yes. So you've done everything. You know what this means. You've done everything in natural. You know how to do. You put in your effort. You've done everything. Everything in the natural is ready. You made all the moves. You know how to. In the natural, you've done your parts. And it escapes. It should not escape the prophetic sword in your mouth. Know that you are not helpless. And you cannot be stranded. You know that there's something left. Oh, there's something left. There's something left. The sword of Elisha. The prophetic word in my mouth. I've done everything in the natural. I've read. I've drafted a proposal the way it's supposed to be. I've made the contacts. And it's as though nothing is working. Remember, he that escaped the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall slay. And that's the prophetic word in your mouth. You can't escape it. You can't escape it. Tap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, after you have done all, remember there's a sword in your mouth. Nothing can escape it. Nothing can keep it. Never act helpless. The child of God should never be stranded. who were not born again to be disadvantaged, who were not born again to be slaves of time and space and matter. No, there's something at work upon us. There's something at work within us. Amen. Let's use what we have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We said the prophetic word is creative in nature. Listen to me. Every time we speak that word with power, that word inspired by the Spirit with power, creation begins. Adjustments begin. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. The worlds were framed. The aeons were framed. The course of life, things that ought to be, were framed by the word of God. It says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Every time you speak inspired word under the anointing, creation starts. Don't just think that nothing is happening. That day you may look as though nothing has happened, but in the spirit realm, something happening. Why is this important? It will affect your actions after you have spoken. A lot of people speak with power, or they have words spoken over them, and because they go out and it looks as though things are worse than when the words were spoken, and they look, is this thing really working? No. Those words worked. Just that they began to walk in the unseen realm. And as a person of faith, the Bible says we look at things which are not seen. They are walking in the unseen realm. There's a noise and a rattling. There's a shaking in the unseen realm. Things are happening. So when you go and you start shouting, things are happening. Things are happening because the word has been spoken. Things are happening. Things are happening. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, did anything happen that day on the outside? But the Bible tells us that from that day, the roots was affected. It was we that from the... Do you see the roots? Oh, talk to me, church. Do you see the roots of trees? No, you don't. Meaning every time you speak, you release prophetic words, things happen in the roots, in the realm that your eyes cannot see. You don't just throw in the towel. Things happen in the roots. That's what prophesying. You say things are happening in the roots. Listen, concerning Nigeria, things are happening in the roots. Never join those people that say, it's not prayer we need now. It's not prayer. Listen, I understand the place of acting after prayer. But you see, never de-emphasize a truth because you are trying to emphasize another one. Never do that. I say, look at Europe. Are they praying? But they're enjoying themselves. You are saying you are ignorant of history. When you talk like that, you don't know history. When you talk like that, you don't have facts in your hands. Look at the Western world. Man, things work there. They are not even praying the way we are praying. Their forefathers prayed the way we are praying. Yes, you see, when we generate things in the spirit, sometimes it takes time for them to start rolling out in the natural realm. But make no mistakes about it. That impact in the spirit is what is required. Go and study the history of Europe. I've told you before, there was a time Europe had 100 years prayer chain non-stop. You think it's a joke? That set the template. By now you know that what you have as capitalism, or the whole economy of Europe, was founded on Protestant revolution. It came forth after the Protestant revolution. Meaning Christians birthed it. Do you understand? Don't join people to say foolish things. Glory to God. Things are happening in the roots. Oh, concerning this city, things are happening in the roots. And in no time, our eyes are seeing them. Our eyes are seeing them. Every time you stand and speak to the mountains, expect them to move. Don't say, mountain, you are still standing. Mm-mm. Expect them to move. Oh, move to yonder place. In the name of Jesus, whatever the mountain is, you command it to move to yonder place. The Bible says it should obey you. So you expect it to obey you. It should obey you. When in the early church, when they spoke words, they expect response. When they use the name of Jesus, they expected miracles. They expected things to happen. There was something about the expectations. And it wasn't all the time that things happened immediately. Oh, the long time above there, speaking boldly the word of his grace. They spent time speaking boldly. And God gave witness to the word of his grace with signs and wonders following. Sometimes you will spend time speaking boldly the word of his grace. Speaking and speaking and speaking. Oh, we are entering nations with the power of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the north, every opposition must give way for this gospel. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We are receiving the harvest of the city. In thousands, in hundreds of thousands and in millions. Long time above there, speaking boldly. Speaking boldly. When Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, read it again. The man didn't stand up. He didn't stand up. But Peter too didn't pray again. He knew that the name works. The Bible says he took him by the right hand. The next thing was action. Go and read it again. The man didn't stand himself. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand. The guy was looking at him. Yes. Let's look at him. What was that supposed to be? He said, my friend, stand up. I have prayed and it has worked. It works. Oh, I remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth, that great apostle of faith. And they brought a mad person to him. The relative of the mad guy brought him to Reverend Smith Wigglesworth to pray for him. He prayed in the name of Jesus, you spirit of madness, get out, you are free. In Jesus' name, say he's free. They said, amen. They took him away. And they called him again. They said, sir, it's as though he's madder now than he was. When he said, can you pray for him again? He said, no. I have prayed for him and he was healed, and I prayed for him, he's healed. And guess what? He began to amend. For indeed he was healed. Indeed he was healed. You know, it's a matter of use and confidence. You know, some of you are doctors here. And they call you at night and that there's an emergency. And that with sleepy eyes, you just respond. Okay, oh, this, okay, give him this, give a child this and this, and then you sleep back till morning expecting that drug will work. Oh, God Almighty. Most times when we speak the word of God, we're looking, is it going to work? What is happening? Will it work? Is God going to fail me? What is, no. Just like the doctor can have confidence in that drug. I know what I'm telling you. You just prescribe and sleep. The parents are relative are just agitated. I say, relax, the child will be fine. And like magic, the child is fine. The convulsion will just cease. Just one dose of paracetamol, pam, pam, it just ceases. And then you don't even give it and look back. If you are busy, you just go, believing that the child will amend. Why? Confidence and use. Hallelujah. Say, have confidence in the prophetic word. They expected it to work. They expected it to create their realities. They spoke and spoke and spoke and saw what they spoke. The Bible says God will always give witness to the testimony or testimony to his word. Hallelujah. Is it just with nothing? No, with signs and wonders. Meaning every time we speak that word, we expect supernatural things to happen. Never let circumstances convince you otherwise. We have said that in prophecy, we speak the mind of God to circumstances and situations. With boldness. And we expect the creative power of God to go to work. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew chapter 12, 33 to 37. Let me just show you something from there quickly. Do you know that everything you ever be, everywhere you ever go, everything you ever do, God has programmed it to your heart. If you are going to be a global business mogul with brands all over the world, it's inside you. The seed is already inside you. It's not outside, it's inside you. The word of God unveils, empowers, and triggers to manifestation. It's inside you. It's inside you. This is why God places so much value on human beings. Do you know the worst among men is worth more than the whole world? According to the Bible. Now you see why God wants us to see men the way He sees them. He doesn't want us looking down on people because of their current circumstances. Because listen, except by the Spirit, you don't know what is in this man. Except by the Spirit, you don't know what is in this man. Locked up within us is what we can be that we are not yet. Locked up within every man, including that guy on the street begging, if only his eyes can be opened to see what is in him. And when you come into Christ and the word of God starts illuminating your heart and your mind, you begin to know, look, this is what I'm born to do. You mean I can do this? You mean I can be this? You mean this is part of me? Well, here's the point, is in your heart. Your life is lived from your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, right, are the boundaries of life. Now watch this. This is what I want to show you. He says, either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Next verse. O generation of vipers, brood of snakes, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch this. I'm going somewhere. If you notice, the focus is on speaking. Yes. Whole generation of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look at the next verse. A man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Are you seeing that? So how are you going to fling out good things? Is from your heart. But means is your mouth. That's where I'm going. So, he's a good man. He has good treasure in his heart. He has great things in his heart. How are you going to bring them out? Your mouth. That's what he's saying. Are you getting it? An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, treasure that means store, of his heart, brings forth evil things. Check the next verse, how they do it. But I say unto you that every idle word, can you see? He connects it to word. Watch this. This means you fling out your dreams primarily through your mouth. I wish you believe me. Don't stop talking. Don't stop talking under the anointing. When Satan puts pressure on you, amplify the voice of faith. When there are things on the outside that are not supporting what you believe, things are happening and doesn't support what you really believe, you expected this to have happened, it's not happening. Men, go back and talk. Speak again. The beautiful thing is that speaking will have a great impact on your emotions. Do you know your words have impact on your emotions? And your emotions affect your outcome. when you start talking, I'm not a failure, I'm a success. For God ordained me from the beginning. He anointed me to prosper. The pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hands. You know what is the pleasure of the Lord? The assignment He has committed to your hands. That thing, that kingdom in your heart that you seek, that's the pleasure of the Lord. It could be in medicine. It could be in business, in commerce, in fashion, on the pulpit. The pleasure of the Lord prospering in your hand. That's what it's talking about. When you start declaring, the pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hand. I shall see the travail of my soul and be pleased. I shall see my investment, my seed sowing, my goodness, the confessions of my faith, the actions of faith that I take, and I shall be pleased. When you speak and speak, it affects your emotions. It affects your emotions. And boy, when the word of God starts affecting your emotion, you're almost there. Let me tell you. You must stay with the word until it affects, until it creates emotional experience. I say that again. This is very important. Stay with the word of God, talking, confessing, prophesying it, praying it, until it affects your emotions, until it commands emotional response, stirs your emotions, stirs your emotions, emotions of joy, emotions of fulfillment. That's what it means by it happening in your heart. And it's the word of God. Listen, your heart has been programmed to produce for you what it has experienced. Meaning, sir, until you experience wealth on the inside, you can't experience it on the outside. You can't. It will reproduce for you what it has experienced. This is where I'm going. Let me give you a very funny illustration. It will make sense to you. You know, the Bible says, he that looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery in his heart. God says it has happened. Aye. You know, think about the positive side of it. That means you sat down and saw yourself as the CEO of that company. You have done it in your heart. That means in the record of heaven, you are the CEO of that company. Do you understand? So if God can hold you accountable for committing adultery in your heart, hey, he will hold you responsible for becoming the CEO in your heart. Hey! He will. Did you get that? He will. It's a trust in the heart, it has happened. That means your success can happen in your heart. That next level can happen in your heart. See, I've committed success. I committed greatness every day in my heart. Oh, Shagabaya. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you get that? Your heart is programmed to reproduce for you what it has experienced. By the speakings of that prophetic word in your mouth, you give your heart experiences. You give your heart experiences. You do, but you must say it. It cannot be in your heart. That's what I'm saying. It cannot just be in your heart. Okay, I just know one day I'm going to be the investor. You have to declare it. One day this is going to happen. You have to declare it. Declare it to the chairs in your room. Declare it to the rats in the compound. To the lizards that walk on the wall. If there's nobody there, declare that this is my statement of faith. This and this and this is me. Do you understand? And you are not saying it as a mental thing. You are saying it as a spiritual thing. You speak it. Let the devils hear it. Let the air hear it. Oh, let the birds of the air hear it. That this man you are seeing here is a global influencer. Let the heavens hear it. That the nations have gathered to me because Christ is in me. That we will enter nations with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Who will take over mountains and spheres by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the days are coming where will be 100,000 members in Sunday attendance, morning attendance, 100,000 people. The days are coming when all over the world, if you put our members together, there are over 1 million people. You know, it sounds like what? I know what I'm saying. This is not the first place I'm saying it. I shouted it out loud when I was alone. The Bible says, look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bore you. He said, when I called him, he was but one. I blessed him, he became many. Oh my goodness. When I called him, he was but one. I blessed him, he became a multitude. When I called him, he was but one. I blessed him, he became a multitude. It means one plus the blessing equals multitude. It means 10,000 naira plus the blessing. Multitudes. 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 He said, look unto Abraham, your father. And if you know, if you read about Abraham in Romans 4, the Bible says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Question, did the opposition come against him? Yes. God changed his name and gave him a confession. He said, no longer will you be called Abram, but Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made. You know what God did? God was changing his confession. You know why? Because your name is a confession. Ah, Abraham. You are saying, father of many nations. Kalavaya. So every time they ask him, what is your name? Oh, I am father of many nations. He was prophesying. Is somebody listening to me? He was prophesying. Listen, God does nothing in any life on the earth without it being prophesied. Nothing. Nothing. Check your Bible very well. He does nothing. Even God, when he wants to do anything, he speaks it first. You know, I read a portion of Isaiah and it got my attention. He says, I, the Lord, will make you unto us. I have commanded it and I will do it. I will. I said, Lord, do you have to say it before you do it? He said, yes, I have to say it before I do it. That is a pattern for us as imitators of God. You speak it. You speak it. I'm the man that the Lord has helped. Oh, I'm the woman that the Lord has helped. I'm the man that the Lord has helped. I'm the man that the Lord has helped. I receive his mercy every day. I receive his mercy every day. For my family, I receive his mercy. For my marriage, I receive his mercy. For the ministries committed to my hands, I receive his mercy. For my business, I receive his mercy. For my finances, I receive his mercy. My health, I receive his mercy. You say it. You say God does nothing without it being spoken for. You know why? Let's move a little further. The speakings, listen to me. The speakings gives it legal backing for you to manifest on the earth. If it's not spoken, it doesn't have the legal right for manifestation on the earth. Never forget that. I mean, if that healing has not been spoken for, it cannot manifest. It doesn't have the legal right to be manifested on the earth. Is somebody listening to me? If it appeared accidentally, it will disappear accidentally. The speakings gives a legal right. The realm of the spirit is governed by laws. Make no mistakes about it. It's not haphazard. Very, very orderly. I told you 3 weeks ago that why we share testimonies. When something manifests in a body, one of the ways we establish it is by declaring it. Oh, glory to God. The growth dissolved. When you say it, it is established. We give manifestations legal rights by declaring it forth. So you notice God will always speak. God will always speak, giving it permission for manifestation on the earth. Are you ready to prophesy? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hopefully the last thought for today, Revelation chapter 19. The testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy. Let me just share that. Revelation 19. I believe it's, is it verse 20 now? Let me check quickly. Bible scholars. Thank you, Lord. The testimony of Jesus is it, okay, verse 10. Verse 10. Are you there? Is he on the board? Is he there? Look, I fell at his feet and worshipped him. Now, this was an experience between the angel of the Lord and actually between John, the beloved, and the angel of the Lord. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou doest it not. King James is in my head. See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now I want you to follow me. Have you noticed that all through the Bible, angels don't receive worship? You've noticed that, right? That means everywhere you saw in the Bible that the person received worship, it wasn't an angel. It was the Lord himself. You remember the angel that appeared to Joshua? He received worship from Joshua. He said, remove your shoes. He bowed before him. He worshipped him. So that was not an angel. That was the Lord. And that was not Michael. Even Michael will not receive worship. That was the Lord. We call them divine appearances of God. And I believe it was the Holy Ghost, not Jesus. I'm not a Christophany. No Christophanies are those that Jesus believed that Jesus was appearing in the Old Testament. No. He said, a body has thou prepared for me. That means until the body was prepared, he never manifested in the sense realm. That means the first time we're seeing Jesus was when he was born in a manger. Do you understand? But the Holy Spirit has the ability to appear. We saw that the visitation that Abraham had, and then again that Joshua had, amen, he received worship. He said, are you for us or adversary? He said, none of those. None of those. He said, but for as the captain of the Lord's host, that's the Holy Ghost, I am now come. Come and take the strategy for taking Jericho. Hallelujah. No, you can't read that and be discouraged. No wonder the Bible says these things are written for admonition, that we through patience and the comforts of the scriptures might have hope. You can't read that and be discouraged. He said, as the captain of the Lord's host, I am now come. Take the strategy for taking the city. And watch the strategy. Let me tell you this so that I can encourage somebody's faith. The realm of faith, the most important thing is what God has told you to do. Whether it makes sense or not, is not your business anymore. Can you imagine going around a walled city every day for 7 days and not saying anything? And on the seventh day, you went around the first time and you looked at the wall. There was no crack. No crack. At least on the seventh day. At the third time, there should be a crack to encourage your faith. None. None. Listen, sometimes you will act in faith and there will not be any external thing to encourage your faith. Never give up. No crack. Third time, no crack. Fourth time, no crack. Nothing. Just obeying instruction. How dumb they would have appeared before sense men. I mean, you're going, are you saying going around this world is going to bring it down? See these dumb people, dumb Jewish people, very dumb, very dumb. You know how I knew? The people were there. You know, they had windows and they had buildings on the wall. But they were not bothered. And they were not bothered because they were looking for Saul and they are shot. The Bible said nothing went out and nothing came in. So they felt we are secured. They are not throwing stones at us. They are not throwing bombs at us. Nothing can happen. But listen, the strategy of the Spirit. The strategy of the Spirit. The strategy of the Spirit. Nothing happened. I believe strongly that even at the sixth time, nothing happened. But that seventh time. It's at the seventh time, raise a shout. When they did. Listen, if they had shouted at the first round, nothing would have happened. Because that wasn't the instruction. That wasn't the instruction. And God wasn't committed to making it come to pass. At the seventh time, raised the shout. The Bible says the wall of Jericho did what? Sank. It didn't just fall. It sank. Hallelujah. Okay, that will just go back to Revelation 19:10. An expose on angels, right? And divine appearances. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what is he talking about? Is it when somebody is giving testimony and say, let's prophesy on this testimony? No. Say, praise the Lord. As I was coming, we almost had accident, but I came safely and nothing happened. Everybody, let's prophesy. You know, there are Orthodox Pentecostal churches. Let me not even go there. Orthodox Pentecostal. Listen, that's not what he's saying. You have to understand this. This is going to give you two major things. Number one, it will make you understand the purpose of prophecy. The purpose of prophecy and the root of prophecy. Is a revelation of both the purpose of prophecy and the root of prophecy. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, 1 Corinthians 14 rather. He says, prophecy must produce three things. Edification, exaltation, and comfort. That means if it doesn't minister comfort, it's not prophecy. If it doesn't bring edification, building up, encouragement is not prophecy. If it doesn't exalt, it's not prophecy. Meaning inspire is not prophecy. Watch this now. One of the meaning of this is this. Prophecy must glorify Jesus. Prophecy must point to the testimony of Jesus. And what we mean by that? Testimony is just materia. It means witness. There cannot be a witness without a story. There can never be a witness without a story. It will be a false witness. Isaiah said, who has believed our reports? Who has believed our reports? That means there's a report to be believed. Hey, there's a story to be believed. We're talking about the testimony of Jesus. There's a story to be believed. That he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our prosperity was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. There's a story. There's a story. There's a testimony. Hiya. There's a testimony that we bear. That Jesus, the Son of the living God, who was sinless, was made sin for us. That we that were full of sin may become his. There's a testimony. There's a witness. That he came, he died a cruel death on the cross. He hung on that tree. The pierced side, his blood came out. He shed his blood. He poured out his blood for us. This is what we stand in. This is the strength of prophecy. This is the strength of prophecy. Apart from that, it's just witchcraft and familiar spirits. Do you understand? If it does not exalt the workings of Christ. If it does not exalt the sacrifice of Christ and is not connected to the sacrifice of Christ, why can we declare that the goodness of God is permanently directed towards us? Because of the testimony of Jesus. Why are you going to achieve that dream that is so big in your heart? The testimony of Jesus. Not because you are so smart, not because you had a first class, not because you are so clever. No, the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. This is why prophecy must produce edification. Because of the testimony of Jesus. This is why it must produce exaltation. Because of the testimony of Jesus. This is why it must produce comfort. Because of the testimony of Jesus. So when we stand prophesying, something is at the back of our mind. Jesus died. For me, he was raised. For me, he ascended and sat at the right hand of power on high. For me, listen, the ministry of Jesus for you did not stop on the cross. Neither did it stop in hell after he got the victory from Satan. Neither did it stop at his resurrection. No, that he seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's carrying out a ministry for you. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have a high priest seated, passed into the heavens. He ever lives to make intercession. Oh, you know what it means? He has your name on his lips. He has your name on his lips. He has your name on his lips. Listen, let me tell you something. In the realm of the spirit, there is no time, there is no past, there is no present, there is no future. Hey, get this. That means when Hebrews said that Jesus entered into the heavenly holy of holies and presented his blood in that heavenly shrine with our names on his lips, obtained an eternal redemption, is still happening now. It's not in the past. Oh, somebody, did you get that? So don't think that it happened over 2,000 years ago. No, the words are still being spoken. The blood is still speaking. The sacrifice is ongoing. The intercession is ongoing. It's ongoing. So when you take communion and rise and speak words, the doors must open. The doors must open. The door, it must open. The sickness must go. The diagnosis must be turned around. The situation must turn to favor you because you have a high priest passed into the heavens. Whoever lives to make intercession. Listen, brothers and sisters, something is always going on our behalf. While you are sleeping and snoring and dreaming, something is going on your behalf. Never forget that. Something is going on your behalf. Something is going on your behalf. And there's a sprinkling of the blood. There's a sprinkling of the blood going on your behalf. Your high priest. So even when you feel weak, you feel not deeply prayed, remember that something, just say, Lord, thank you, because something is going on my behalf. As I am now, something is going on my behalf. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. We magnify your holy name. Can you just, while you are seated, lift your hands and bless our King? And adore him, magnify him, exalt him, he's worthy. Just talk to him, adore him. You have won the Lord. Just don't stop. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not helpless.
You have won it all for me.
Just speak.
Just speak. Some of you already stared. Just speak for the word of the Lord. Can we be on our feet? Zekepaton Zesteparadiga. Maloka Prunda Capon Zesteparadica. Zenia Tomatacon Zesteparadica Posa. Purabata Caponza. Shakaparatopa. Piakapa. Shakapurabata. Malikaton Zepata. Likon Zepataya. Shakapaton Zepata. Repepaton Zepata. Shakapa, go ahead and speak for. I want you to go ahead and speak for words inspired by the Spirit. Shagabala Kosa. Shagibala Gabala Nabanda Kapaya. Mande Kepa. Fly on the wings of this world. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Please, very, very briefly, I want you to speak words concerning the last quarter of the year starting tomorrow. That means we just have 3 months in the year 2018. I want you to speak out your heart desire in the next 1-2 minutes. Say, Father, this is what I desire. I receive in the name of Jesus. The last quarter of this year, beginning tomorrow, our expectations are exceeded. Our expectations are exceeded. Our expectations are exceeded. In the name of Jesus, Lord, whatever it is that we desire, that the desire, whatever it is, the written down, the thought about,
they've believed for the year 2018. Whatever word you've given us, whatever word you've given us individually, I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we enter into the last quarter, our eyes will see the manifestations of those things. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise?
Give the Lord a shout. I can't hear. We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.